Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, please, chapter 32. 2 Chronicles in your Schofield Bible, page 523. Beginning with verse 27, we'll read responsively through verse 31. 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verses 27 through 31, page 523. And may we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. He made himself treasuries for silver, and for gold, and for precious stones, and for spices, and for shields, and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn, and wine, and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. The same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon, and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all of his works. And let's read together the 31st verse, which is the text verse. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Let's pray. And Father, do for us that which we need. And in order for you to do for us that which we need, we, of course, must offer ourselves to thee to work upon. And we pray that you'd work upon us, our hearts, our lives, with the mighty hammer of thy word. Bless, we pray, and give of thy strength and help and spirit's fullness to each of us, but especially to our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, when God leaves you. When God leaves you. You need not turn to it, but I want to read you a verse that I have a little hard time understanding. I believe it because it says it. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. I'm going to speak on that subject tonight about that part, but here's my text this morning. God left him. Talking about Hezekiah, who led in a great revival and to whom was given 15 additional years to live. God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Do you ever feel like God had left you? God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. I don't understand that much. I know that God is omniscient. He knows everything. But it seems that sometimes God may allow himself to be blinded in order that he might test us to find out something about us. But it is said of Hezekiah, God left him. Why did God leave him? To try him. Why did God try him? To find out all that was in his heart. Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts today. Give us exactly what our saved souls need. Encourage us so you can use us. Amen. We have a lot of new folks here this morning, and let me just simply say this before I begin. I always like for folks to listen and not write while I'm preaching. I'd rather you wouldn't take notes. I'd rather you look right this way. There's nothing any more uninspiring than the top of your head. Unless it's the top of my head. And so I want you to just look right this way and follow me as I bring you the message. Job had lost everything. He had lost his wealth. He had lost his children into death. He had lost his health. He had lost the faithfulness and the loyalty of his wife. He had lost everything. And in the 13th chapter, in the 24th verse, he asked this question. God, wherefore hidest thou thy face? Job was asking the question, God, where are you hiding? Where are you hiding? David had lost his son. The son born from his unholy union with Bathsheba after his murder of Uriah. And David went to the grave of his baby boy whose life had been taken. And David looked up in Psalm 10:11 and said, God hath forgotten, he hideth his face. Later on, before that, David was running from Saul, hiding, fleeing, escaping as a fugitive, Saul the king chasing him to kill him. And David said in Psalm 13 and verse 1, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? In captivity for those 70 years we often speak about, the Jews said in Psalm 44:24, wherefore hidest thou thy face? Heman, H-E-M-A-N, one of the older men rejected, whose advice was rejected by Rehoboam. When Rehoboam sought the counsel of the young men and the older men said, do not raise the taxes, but give the people less burden. Younger men said, raise the taxes, make them higher. And Rehoboam, the king, young king, listened to the advice of the younger men. And in that time, Heman, one of those older men whose advice was rejected by Rehoboam, said in Psalm 88:14, why hidest thou thy face from me? When David heard of Absalom's death, when Absalom had rebelled against his father and caused an insurrection and tried to become the king himself, Absalom was killed in that battle. When David heard of Absalom's death in Psalm 27, verse 9, David said, God, hide not thy face from me. When the son of David, Solomon, killed the son of David, Adonijah, in Psalm 69 and 17, David said, again, hide not thou face from me. Everybody in this room this morning has come to times in your life where you felt that God had left you, that God had forsaken you. There are times when God is so close that you feel you can reach out and touch Him. There are other times when God is so far away that you wonder if He's even with you at all. Ask you a question. What is your burden this morning that makes you feel that God is not with you? What is it that makes you look up to heaven and say, wherefore hidest thou thy face from me? I'll guarantee you, 75% of the adults in this room have come to times in your life where you felt like that God was so far away, He had forsaken you. I mean, if it could happen to David, a man after God's own heart, it would happen to you. If it could happen to Job, a man with more patience than any man that ever lived, it could happen to you. If it could happen to Heman, the psalmist, it could happen to you. And so, all of us have come to times in our lives where it looked like God was not working. It looked like truth was on the cross and error was on the throne. And it looked like that God had withdrawn from us and that God is not working for us. And everybody in this house this morning, most of you who are adults, have faced that kind of a time. What is yours today? An illness like Job? And it seems like you can't get over it. And you wonder if God is really with you, and you pray and you wonder if God is there, and you look up and you say, God, don't hide your face from me. Wherefore hidest thou thy face from me? What is yours this morning? A marriage problem? A husband that's left you? Or a husband that's a drunk and he won't come to church? He won't support the family? You're having a tough time making ends meet? And you look up sometimes and say, God, where are you? I can't see you. Wherefore hidest thou thy face from me? What is yours this morning? Is it the death of a loved one, like in the case of David and his boy, or Job and his children? Have you gone to the silent city of the dead and laid to rest a little body that you love like you love your own self? Come home to find an empty crib and a bronze shoe at the house, and you feel like that God's not with you. You look up and say, God, where are you? I can't feel your presence. You know what I'm talking about. You've been there. I've been there. You know what I'm talking about. And we look up and say, God, where are you? Why? I can't see your face. Wherefore hidest thou thy face from me? Is yours like an enemy who stalks you like Saul was stalking David? Is yours a rejection like Heman was rejected by Rehoboam? Is yours a wayward child like David's heart was broken because of his children? What is the thing this morning that causes you to feel like sometimes that God is not with you? Let me give you four things before I bring the main points. I want to give you four things this morning about this that I know. Now listen carefully. I know this. There are times, God said to Israel one time, He said, I left you for a season and I return forever. So there are four things I know. Number one is, God does not really ever leave you. It may seem that God has left you. But you see, sometimes God is with us but pulls back our vision and our ability to see Him and to realize His presence. But 366 times in the Bible, God tells us He's always with us and He'll never leave us. That's one for every day in the year and one for leap year. 366 times, God says, I will not leave you. So I've got some good news for you this morning. He really isn't gone. You may not feel His presence. You may not be able to see Him. And you look up and you say, wherefore hidest thy face? It's not that His face is not there. It's that you can't see the face that is there. So God never leaves you. When Becky, our oldest daughter, was a baby, I did this for all of our children, but I'll use Becky because she was the first. I wanted our children not to be afraid of the dark. And so along about dusk, I'd put Becky on a pallet. Yeah, I mean, you know what the word pallet means. A little quilt out on the front yard. And I'd go inside the house and about dusk. And truth is, I'd go out there and I'd play with Becky. And then she'd be sitting on the pallet. She was too young to walk at the time. And then while she was playing and getting, sucking on rattler or something, and she got enchanted with that, or maybe she was watching those little birds up there, you know, on top, and I'd sneak in the house. And I'd look out the window. And Becky would not know I was gone. Then all of a sudden, she would realize I was gone, and it was got darker. I'd leave her out there. I wanted to realize that the dark is not bad. And I would not be afraid of the dark. But then pretty soon she'd look around and I was gone and she'd begin to cry, Daddy, 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 Daddy. She couldn't see Daddy, but Daddy could see her. And you let some dog come in that yard. Daddy's got his eyes on her. And you let some snake come in that yard. I'd run, let her do best she could. But there's a limit to anybody's love, folks. But I'm saying my eyes were there. And there are times in your life where God seems to withdraw Himself and you can't see Him. And you say, God, you've hidden your face from me. And I want to tell you something. His face is never gone from you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never depart from you. From the moment that you receive Christ as your Savior, from that moment, forever and ever and ever, you'll never be separated from your great God. Now, the second thing I want to say before I get down to the main points is this. God hiding His face from you seemingly is not permanent. It's just for a while. So if this morning you look up and say, I can't see you, dear God, God looks down and I want to remind you that you will be able to see Him again. The Bible said, He said, God left him to try him that he may know all that was in his heart. And when God found out what was in his heart, you rest assured, God uncovered his face again and Hezekiah once again saw the face of his wonderful God. So it's not permanent. Third thing I want to say about that, it's just for a little while. It's just for a little while. And the fourth thing, bless God, the day is going to come before long when all of us shall see Him forever and ever and ever. I go as I leave to go preach every Monday morning. I stop by the waiting room. Or whenever I leave to go preach, I stop by the waiting room. And I look at that big picture of Dr. John R. Rice there in our waiting room. And I just look at him for a while, and I watch those big old hands that I've shaken so many times, and those broad shoulders that I've embraced so many times, and I look at his face that I've watched many times while he preached. That's 22 years we shared pulpits together across the country, and then I look at Brother Lester Roloff, and I watch him for a while. He's over here to the right of Dr. Rice in the waiting room, and I watch him for a while and remember the times that we spent together, especially as young preachers, all the years we shared fellowship in the work of God. I look over here, and there's my mama. Her picture's there. I look at my mama. Then all of a sudden, I'm consumed. All those 22 years, old Dr. John Rice preached about Jesus, and now he's looking at his face, the face of Christ. All those years, my mama told me about Jesus, and now for these 5 years, she's been looking in the face of the one whom she loved. All those years, Brother Olaf and I spent together. I mean, Lester is with Jesus. Get that! Get that! He's with Jesus now! And my mama is with Jesus now! Oh, it's hard for us earthbound people to comprehend, but it's just a while, bless God! One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. I'll gladly run the race if we see Christ. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. I'm simply saying that, bless God, 3 cheers, hallelujah, in a while we'll see Him. Him whom I've preached for 42 years. Him whom I've known as my Savior for 52 years. I'm simply saying, so what if for a while I have a burden and a heartache and I cannot see His face for a while? So what? I'll get to see His face forever and ever and ever in just a little while. Every single redeemed soul ought to jump up and down and clap his hands and shout, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And so I'm saying those four things I know. First thing, God has not really left you. In the second place, it is not permanent. In the third place, it's just for a little while. In the fourth place, you will see Him forever. But the question comes, why? Why? Why does God hide Himself? Why does God, using this terminology, leave for a while? Why? Why did God leave Hezekiah for a while? I'll tell you why. Listen carefully. Hezekiah was going to die. I'm going to preach about this tonight. Hezekiah was going to die. God said, Hezekiah, He said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. I never have figured out why God said the last part of it, because if you die, you don't live anyway. But He wanted Hezekiah to understand it totally. The other day, somebody came. I was talking to somebody. I said, did you hear about so-and-so? He died. He died. No. I said, they buried him the other day. And they said, did he die? I said, no, they buried him alive. They're just tired of having him around. But God said, Hezekiah, He said, set thy house in order. Thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. And God looked down and said, Hezekiah, I've heard your prayers. Oh, isn't that great? I've heard your prayers. Bless God. God, the Creator, He hears me when I pray. I've heard your prayers. Then He said, I've seen thy tears. And then He said, Hezekiah, you're going to have 15 years added to your life. And Hezekiah got proud after that, as I'll mention tonight. In fact, I'm going to say it all this morning. You won't have to come back tonight. I wish I'd have prepared a sermon for this morning, too. But God said, okay, Hezekiah, I'm going to leave you for a while. And God left him. Why? Why does God leave us? Why does God hide His face from us for a while? Why does it seem like at the graveside God hides His face? Why does it seem like sometime at the hospital God hides His face? Why does it seem sometime because of unemployment, you can't find a job and you can't pay your bills and make ends meet,
God seems to hide His face. Why does God, at the time we feel like we need Him more than any other time, why does God seem to hide His face? The Bible tells us why. He says God left Him to try Him that He might know all that was in His heart. What's God going to find out about you? What's God going to find out about you? I mean, what did God find out when you had the tough time? And God did not let you see His face for a while. And God left you for a while, you thought. How did you take it? What did God find out? Did He find out you doubted Him? Did He find out you didn't love Him very much? Did He find out you'd turn back and not keep going forward? Did you find out you'd quit on God and quit doing? What did God find out? Look, God said, I want to know what is in Hezekiah's heart. And God said, I know how to find out. God said, I'll leave him. I'll leave him to try him. And that way, I'll know what's in his heart. I'll tell you something. God finds out about you not when you're on the mountaintop, but when you're in the valley. God finds out the real you, not when folks are applauding, but when folks are booing. God finds out the real you, not when you're healthy and prosperous. God finds out the real you when you're sick and broke. I'm so tired of this charismatic hodgepodge in America, I don't know what to do. All these get rich and get health and wealth and health people saying if you get right with God, you'll be wealthy and you'll be healthy. That's the devil's lie. I said that's the devil's lie. Some of the sweetest, dearest Christians on the face of God's earth don't have enough money to buy their groceries next weekend. And some of the sweetest Christians I know are not well. And God oftentimes comes down and says, I want to see what you're made out of. I want him to find out that I love him regardless. I want him to find out when I can reach up and see him and almost touch him and I can understand everything he does. I want to love him. When I look up and I seem like I can't even see him and I wonder if he's even there and I can't touch him. I can't figure out why he's doing what he's doing. I want God to find out that I love him regardless. I was thinking this last week about 2 years ago, 1987. I guess the happiest year in the history of First Baptist Church of Hammond. We started off that 100th year anniversary started off in the month of March. And every Sunday, all the way through the month of November, we had something special. And we laughed and we had fun and relived and praised God. And what a wonderful year. It just seemed like there was not a burden all year long. It just seemed like that there was nothing to cry about all year long. It just seemed like the whole year was a festive time, a time of festival and rejoicing and a spiritual carnival. And what a wonderful year it was. But 1989 is a different year. 89's been a year of tears. 89's been a year of battle. 89's been a year of heartache. But I want to tell you something this morning. God knows what we're all about now. God did not find out what you're made of in 87. God found out what the First Baptist Church is made of in 89. That's what I want to do. I want him to find out when he leaves me for a while and I cannot see his face and it seems like I just don't know why he's doing what he's doing. I want to look up and I want to say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that my Redeemer liveth and he shall stand on the latter day. I know that and I trust it. I want God to know I love him anyhow. Oh, let me tell you, God sometimes pulls away from you and takes your job and takes away your income or takes away your health or takes away some loved one or takes away some prosperity. And you look up and say, I can't see God. You know why God does that? God wants to try you, to test you. He wants to find out what's in your heart. And I want God to know I love Him. I've told Him 1,000 times, I guess, a month in the last few months, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you when we're celebrating our 100th anniversary. I love you when we're in the valley. I love you when it's clear and you can see forever. And I love you when I cannot see my hand in front of my face. You're my God. You're wonderful. I praise you. I worship you. I adore you. I love you. You're my God. What does God find? What's God found out about you? What's God found out about you? When God forsook you or left you for a while to try you, that He might find out what is in your heart. What did He find? Griping? What did He find? Complaining? What did He find? Quitting? What did He find? Turning back? Some of you college students this morning, you're going to think for the next few days, God's forsaken you. But I've got news for you. God hasn't forsaken you. God's going to try to find out what you're made out of to see if He can use you or not. This is testing time. You're going to look up to God in the next few days and you're going to say, God, I can't even feel like you're with me. I can't see you. Well, hallelujah, He's there anyhow. But God wants to find out what's in your heart. Not only do I want God to look when He tests me and tries me, I want Him to find that I love Him regardless. But I want Him to find out I'll serve Him regardless. I'll serve Him. I don't care what happens, you stuck with me, God. You're not going to get rid of me. Stuck with me. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you when I can see you. I'm going to serve you when it's easy to talk to you. I'm going to serve you when the clouds are broken and the sun is shining through. But I'm going to serve you when I can't see you. God wants to try you to find out what's in your heart. What do? Quit your Sunday school class? What do? Quit your bus route? What do? Quit your college and go back home? What do? Give up on God? Talking to a fellow last night, a good man. He may be here this morning, may not. He told me, he said, I've had some troubles. And he has. He's had a heap of troubles. A lot of troubles. And he said, I've gotten into a bad habit. I started smoking. But he said, you understand, don't you? I've had it rough. And I said, yeah, I understand. That's why I started smoking too. Now, there's two fellows live in the same area. Two fellows have burdens. One fellow says, I'll turn to nicotine. The other says, I'll serve God anyhow. I'll turn to liquor. Won't you turn to Jesus? I'll turn to the psychiatrist. He needs a psychiatrist himself. He's a nut too. I'll turn to the psychologist. Turn to Jesus. You say, I can't see Him. Turn to Him anyhow. You say, His face is hidden. Well, serve Him anyway. Serve Him. Serve Him. Serve Him. Love Him. God looks down and says, I want to find out what's in your heart. And the way for me to find out what's in your heart, He said, I'll just leave you for a while and try you and see what's in your heart. Serve Him regardless. For years, I've gone to airports across America. Over 7 million miles, I've flown airplanes across this country. I hardly ever go to an airport. But somebody says through these years, Hiles, that name is familiar. Yeah, are you the Reverend Hiles? Are you the preacher Hiles? Well, I'll be on the airplane. And somebody will walk up and say, I think I know you. Aren't you pastor of a big church in near Chicago? All these years, my face is not known by everybody, but all these years, everywhere I go. Maybe it's an agent somewhere. The other day in Charlotte, North Carolina, the agent said, you're Reverend Hiles, aren't you? And all these years. Now then, all of a sudden, people walk up to me at the same airports. Didn't I see you on TV? I don't want to go to the airports. What you going to do? Serve Him. Serve Him. What you going to do when people cuss you? Serve Him. deserve it. I want God to find out this one guy down here stands behind the pulpit of First Baptist Church at Hammond, doesn't have to see him every day to serve him. When God finishes testing me for whatever purpose, and when I turn back and I look up and I see His face again, I want to see His face smiling and saying, "You stood the test. How about you? How about you?" God left him to try him. He may know all that was in his heart. How'd you turn out? How'd you stand up? Huh? When the boss said, "You either sell liquor or you're fired," and you said, I'm commanded in the Word of God not to put the bottle to my brother's lips, and I cannot sell liquor. You went home and told your wife, "I lost my job," and she said, "How can we pay our bills?" And you said, "God will provide," and you had to do without, and the children couldn't go to the youth activities, and they couldn't go to the Christian school unless somebody helped you, and all of a sudden the sickness came, and you went to the hospital, and you thought you were going to die, and the word came, your mom had passed away. You looked up and said, "I can't even see God. What you going to do?" God said, "I'm trying to find out what you're made out of." Not on your wedding day that shows what you is in your heart. It's when you face the wall together as a couple, God finds out what's in your heart. It's not when your baby is born and healthy that God finds out what's in your heart. It's when the baby dies that God finds out what's in your heart. It's not the new house or the new furniture where God finds out what's in your heart. It's when you have to give it up and say goodbye to it when God finds out what's in your heart. It's not on the mountaintop where God finds out what's in your heart. It's in the valley where God finds out what's in your heart. A great crowd of this many. I don't know how many folks here this morning. For Mr. Sumner's sake, I'll say 100,000. But I don't know how many folks here this morning. But there are thousands of people in this great crowd this morning, this great sea of faces. I'll bind you one thing. There's many a little mother this morning who's having to go to get up in the morning at 4 o'clock and clean the house and get the kids ready for school and see them off to school and then get on a bus or ride with somebody else and go to work in the morning and come back in the evening and prepare a meal and help the child with the homework and having to be a mama and a daddy and don't know how to make ends meet. I'll guarantee you there's many a little mama this morning looks up and says, "God, I can't see you. I can't see you." God's testing you. Think of all those years when my mama was tested by God. And then think how she stood the test. And then think how honored she was in the last years of her life. Probably the most famous mother in America in the last 5 years of her life. Now, when did she become a great woman? And God reached down and took her mother when she was 9 and she had to quit school in the 3rd grade. And yet, she kept on loving Him and serving Him. When she had a baby when she was only 18 or 19 years of age, the baby couldn't walk or talk and never turned over in bed, never said mama, never said daddy, laid there like a spastic for 7 years and mama sat beside her bed. She kept on loving Him. She kept on serving Him. When that baby died and she put that little baby in baby land in a little cemetery outside of Italy, Texas, she went back home to an empty house except a drunkard, a drinking husband. But she kept on loving Him, kept on serving Him. Had a second child. She died when she was 7. Mother placed her little body beside the little 7-year-old body. Turned to walk back home again. First two children, died at the age of 7. She kept loving Him and kept serving Him. And I could go on and on, but I won't. But then one day, God looked down and said, "Costel." She looked up and said, "I haven't seen your face for a while. I knew you were up there. I loved you though I couldn't see you. And I served you though I couldn't see you." God said, "Costel, I'm going to make you famous.
I'm going to put your son, pastor of a great church in Indiana, in Hammond, Indiana, in the Chicago area, and I'm going to cause him to make you known around the world. I'm going to make you famous. God saw what she was made out of, and God found out what was in her heart. Not only do I want God to find that I love Him regardless, and I'll serve Him regardless, but I want God to find that I'll trust Him regardless. God doesn't have to prove to me the logic of His work. God doesn't owe to me to explain to me so I can understand what He's doing. If I can't understand what He's doing, I'll trust Him. If I don't agree with what He's doing, I'll trust Him and not myself. Did it ever dawn on you that when we say this, Job lost his wealth. Camels, oxen, donkeys, all of it, lost all of his wealth. But wait a minute. There was somebody else lost all their wealth too. Mrs. Job. She went through the same thing Job endured. We talk about Job's 10 children. Well, Mrs. Job had 10 children too. In case you'd like to know, they were the same 10. She had 10 children too. I mean, when Job lost his house, she lost her house. When Job lost his friends, she lost her friends. She said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" He said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I'll trust Him regardless. I'll love Him regardless. I'll serve Him regardless." Are you there this morning? You can't see Him? May I pull out of my memories files an old story that I've used often? It is not a part of this sermon, but I feel like I should put it here because it's so appropriate. You've heard me tell it a dozen times through the years. God reached down one day into a home that had one little boy, a mother and a father, and one little boy. Little boy's mother, boy's mother one day became ill, and though they did everything they could to save her life, she soon was taken by death. They buried her. Boy and his dad came back home to the house, just the two of them living there. His dad went off to bed, and though neither one of them could sleep, after a while, the little boy's voice was heard. "Daddy? Daddy, could I come and sleep with you?" The daddy was missing his wife. He said, "Sure, son, come on in here." It was the first night they'd been at home alone without their mother and wife. The little boy came in. It was dark, and he felt his way, and finally, he laid down beside his daddy. And as the father was trying to sleep and the son was trying to sleep, there was a sob heard. A little boy's voice said, "Daddy, is your face turned toward me? Is your face turned toward me?" The daddy said, "Yes, son. My face is turned toward you." The little boy said, "Daddy, I can sleep if your face is turned toward me." It was dark. He couldn't see his face. And I'll be honest with you. There have been times in the last year that I looked up and I don't think I could see his face. Well, I knew he was there. There have been times when you've looked up in the last year and said, "I can't see his face." Well, praise God, it may be too dark to see his face, but I'll guarantee you his face is there. And his face is turned toward you. What did God find out about you? Huh? How did you stand the test? How are you going to stand the test when the time comes? And it'll come. How are you going to stand it? How are you going to stand it, widow? How are you going to stand it, unemployed man? How are you going to stand it, sick one? How are you going to stand it, homesick college student? How are you going to stand it? God looks down and God said, "I am going to withdraw from him for a moment and leave him." God, why? Why? To try him, that I may know all that's in his heart. May we not say with Job's wife, won't you just curse God and die? But may we look at the houses destroyed by the winds and 10 little graves right beside each other and a body racked by pain and leprosy and a wife who's saying, curse God and die. I want to say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Our Heavenly Father,